A busy day ahead of us because you'll see in the notices this afternoon there's the meeting in the community centre at 2 o'clock, or starting at 2 o'clock, registration 1:30, about the participatory budgeting project that's being on. And we have put, the church has put a bid in here for £500, and that is to support an after-school club in Urquhart that Tim, our youth worker, is proposing to start up. So if you're free this afternoon and able to come along, please do come along. You can't vote unless you come, but if you're there, you can vote, and hopefully we'll get support for our project this afternoon. And then this evening we have our, it's not on the bulletin, I don't think, but we do have our evening service. It is, yes, our evening service at Lambride. If you've looked at the service sheet, you'll have noticed that Atty's sermon today is about discipleship. And you'll notice that the Connect service next Sunday morning is also on the theme of discipleship. And guess what? The evening service at Urquhart tonight is also on the theme of discipleship. Now, maybe you're thinking, that's fine, I just need to come to one and I'm sorted. But in actual fact, it's been a collaborative effort, and it's been deliberately designed so that the three of them complement each other. And the only way you can judge if that works properly or not is to be there and hear what's going on. So the evening service tonight at 7 o'clock in Urquhart, and then the Connect next Sunday morning at 9:30. Rest of the intimations that you need to see are on the bulletin, apart from one thing, and it's to do with the Bride Heart community newsletter, church and community newsletter. There was a delay in these arriving from the printers, quite a significant delay, in fact, which meant it missed the deadline for them being distributed. There are some people scurrying about very busily in the background trying to make sure that everybody gets these, because, amongst other things, they've got the details of the Christian Aid Week and other things that are coming up. So those who are organising have asked, please, arrangements are in hand for both Lambride and Urquhart to receive their newsletters as soon as possible. There's a problem, though, about the outlying districts, the people who live out with the parish. So if the visitors and elders and visitors for those who live out with the parish are able to do so, could you please come through to the hall afterwards and collect copies of the newsletter to give out to your districts, and that way we'll ensure that everybody who should get one does get one. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with lute and harp, praise him with tambourine and dance, praise him with strings and pipe, praise him with clanging cymbals, and praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Lord, when we are gathered here this morning, our purpose is to live in your presence. You have created life in our midst, and we live in this vast universe. You have renewed life for every person within the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we come with joy before you to worship and to adore you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed forever. We come as we are, wearing this frail humanity which Jesus took on himself. And we come with our faith and our doubts, with our achievements and our failures, with our past and with our potential. And we sit at your feet. Hear our prayers and our praises. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Creator, our Father, Jesus, our Savior, through the work of our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. May you find mercy and peace within him. Let's greet the Lord back by singing Praise Him 446. Lift up your hearts, believers. keep standing and we confess our faith in the words of the Apostle Creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I thought we did not have any young ones this morning, but I think I saw someone there. Who's hiding there? Katie. I thought it was Katie. Katie, would you like to come and help me this morning, or yes or no? Doesn't matter, because I know Christina has some activities later on. Okay, join Christine later on. All right, great. Great. And I see Freddie's here this morning. So Katie, this morning we are going to tell the rest of the congregation about who would you think that picture represents? Who would you think? Jesus. That would be Jesus. There's one for Freddie. Freddie has the ability. So that would be Jesus, and that is a boat, and that would be one of his disciples called Peter. So I think you might know the story. One day Jesus, his disciples were fishing, and then what happened is a big storm came about on the sea, and the disciples were very scared. Are you scared of storms? Have you been in a storm? Not yet. Oh, I can tell you, in South Africa, storms are very scary. It's lightning and it's wind. And do you ever have storms here in Scotland? Yes, you do. Yes. What? Yes, storms. Yes, yes. So that a big storm was at sea, and Peter, that would be Peter in the boat, he was very scared. So Jesus, I think Jesus knew, he was not with them, he knew they were scared. And then he went and he walked on the water to them, because he was able to do that because he's Jesus. We can't do it, but Jesus could. And then he told Jesus, Peter, don't worry, I will help you, I will help you. And then he calmed the storm and everything was back to normal. Everything was right. And Peter was just okay with that. Now, on this picture this morning, it's a kind of a maze, and I'm going to give you this Kokio pen, and we need to find our way through the sea to the finish. Could you and I and Christine try and do that? And you can, thank you. The parents of Freddie, you can do that. And let's see, because Jesus tells his disciples to follow him, and then they need to figure out certain things to get from start to end. All right, shall we start there? Do you have a pen? Let's see if we can get through that to the finish line, because there's a lot of waves which Katie needs to go through. For the others that can't see, so it's just a bit of a maze with the ocean which we try to get through. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, that good. Yes. Yes. And which side then? Let's see. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes. And then? That side. Yes. Christina, help a bit. Yes, yes. Good. Where then? That side? Yes. And going through all the way along to the end. Thank you. Katie, would you show them the picture? All right. There's nothing to the picture. Just show them that you could do it. Yes. Thank you. So while Katie did the picture, she knew where to go, but Christine assisted her. And I think Katie, Jesus with his disciples also had to help them sometimes to know where to go and what to do. And this morning, we are going to have a little bit of a discussion with the older people, not older people, older young people, on discipleship. But what can we, what do we get? Jesus loves us and he would help us in life. Can I pray for us? I'll pray for us. Jesus, thank you that doesn't matter if we are young, small, or old people, we can always know that you will be there in our lives. Sometimes things get troubly, like a storm, and our lives get upset. But we can pray to you that you will guide us, even through the storms of life. Thank you that you know us by heart, and that we can ask you for guidance in our lives. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay, thank you, Katie. And you're going with Christine. I don't know, is Freddie also going out? All right, Freddie's taking the sermon. Laura, I think there's a hymn now. Do we have a hymn? Thank you. Can we sing the hymn?
The first reading today is Matthew 22, verses 18 to 22, and it's on page 991 of the Pew Bibles. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. The second reading is John 1:35-45, and it's on page 1064 in the Pew Bibles. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Amen, and may God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you very much. Just to give some perspective, after celebrating Easter, and to remind us where we are in the church calendar, international or with all Christians, we are approaching the celebration of Pentecost, which is obviously the celebration of the birth of the church and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And that usually is seen 7 weeks or 7 Sundays after Easter, that we know, or some would even say it's 50 days after Easter. And then Grant Petri at the back said, "Are we going to change the colors on the trees because it's still white?" I said, "No, actually it could stay white for a while up till Pentecost," and then he said, "So it would change to red." So the color of Pentecost is red. I won't change it to red, except if some of you would like to change it, we'll just take the white down. And obviously reminding of us of the colors of red and yellow, symbolizing the flames of the Holy Spirit which came down. And if I'm correct, next week at Connect, the text would be Acts 2, or part of it would be Acts 2, the new church and the Holy Spirit, connecting with that, Pentecost after Easter. So coming up to that, or towards Pentecost, I would like to explore and focus on some aspects of what it meant to be a disciple. And again this morning in the two different readings, we hear that there were certain things expected of Jesus in the first reading, who to pay and who Jesus were and who to follow. And in the second reading, it was more the expansion of the calling of the disciples, which also has a bit of history towards it. And when we go to the New Testament and we follow some of the Gospels and the setting of discipleship, I found various different things said about discipleship. There are so many things we could say on the topic of discipleship, and I thought to tackle the topic of discipleship coming up towards Pentecost, and then after Pentecost, we also have the period in the church year or the church calendar, which is called, well, we call it in South Africa, the kingdom period, and I think you call it general period or general time, but we call it the kingdom period. Someone? Yes, I think it's called general time, yes. We call it kingdom period, which focuses on who Jesus was and what the disciples did and the growth of it. And that's 36, if I'm correct, that's 36 Sundays focusing on Jesus and the disciples or his kingdom on earth before we go to Advent and Christmas, which it gives us a very broad perspective of discipleship and the kingdom of who we are and how to focus on it. Now, some of the best background to this concept or the concept of discipleship in the Old Testament and even then in the New Testament as we know it, I found with three different people explaining it to me, the one being a professor at university and the other being a colleague in Port Elizabeth, Dion Lewitz, who is really devoting his life to the concept of discipleship and teaching people different perspectives on discipleship as Jesus would do, or we find in the Gospels. And then the other one I used this morning as well is the source of Rob Bell, which some of you might have seen before or read on his works, which is quite interesting. And all three of these people I've mentioned, they gave me a very good background of the basics of discipleship. Now this morning I know all of you know how discipleship works, and therefore I'm not coming here to teach you that. It's just to dust off things we might have forgotten a bit. People can tell one another in life, and this is what my one professor said. He said that they are grown up and that they've matured and reached a stage of physical being an adult, and even in some sense emotionally being grown up. But one would make a big or a huge mistake if you thought there's a formula which you can follow to become a grown-up disciple of Christ. It's not a formula where it's all of a sudden you wave a magic wand and shoops, I'm a disciple and I've arrived. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus as a disciple is a long life journey. The question then is, what are some of the traits or characteristics of being a disciple of Jesus? If I want to be the kind of person who does the right thing in life, and I don't just mean big things in life, because sometimes we think to be a Christian or to be a disciple, I need to do big things in life. No, it's also doing the small things in life. When you are on your own, called integrity, the discipleship between you and your neighbors, between you and your family. And therefore, I'd like to begin today just as a start in making a start on discovering some of the aspects or the concept of discipleship. Next week, I will continue from where I've left off today. If you struggle to follow me, just do this, something like this. When we think of the calling of Jesus' disciples, we find them at their boat doing their usual trade as most of them fishermen, and we know not all of them were fishermen. Later during the gospel, we also hear about the disciples fishing at night, as I was telling Katie just now, whilst being caught up in a storm. Then we hear that Jesus is walking towards the disciples, and they thought initially that he was a ghost. And when they call out or being afraid that this might be a ghost, Jesus tells them, don't be afraid, it's me, it's Jesus. And then we hear something quite interesting in the telling of the story. Peter, one of the disciples, gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water towards Jesus. Now my question would be, what was Peter thinking? And why does he believe that he's able to walk on water? Now the story makes much more sense when we have a look at the contextual background of the time. Jesus being Jewish, and so the disciples also being Jewish, living in a first world Jewish century. Now Jesus grew up in the area we now called Galilee or Galilee, and the Jewish people at that time also believed that God has spoken to them through their historic leader, Moses. And with Moses, he was given the five first books that we have in our Bible today, and that was called the Torah. You could pronounce it in different ways, but the Torah, I would like to stand closer to you, the Torah would be the first books as we have it in our Bible today. And children would used to would go to synagogues, which would be their schools of the time, and they would learn from the Torah. Now, I don't know the subjects here in which is taught here in Scotland. We have subjects like history and biology and science, etc. So I assume the same. So at the age of 5 to 6 years old, a child would go to the local synagogue where a teacher would tell them, and the teacher would be called a rabbi. That would be the word for a teacher. And the teacher will teach the children from age 5 to 6 all the different things that are written in the Torah. That would be from Genesis. Let's see. Genesis, Exodus, help me with the English. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomium, that's our word for it. All right. So from age 5 to 6, from 5, 6 years old, they will start to learn their subjects. And their being as Jewish children, they will learn it from the, let's say the Bible, but it's not the Bible, the Torah. The Torah also means teaching, or actually meant the way, the truth, the way of the truth. All right, so they would be taught that. And then they would know, these 5 books, they would know by heart. They would know it off their head, that off their cuff. Cuff, thank you. Yes, from, yes. So they would, thank you. They would know this. And this would be part of them. And then at the age of 10, they would get out of the school and they would go back to being part of their family, doing their family trade. If it was fishermen, if it was making tents, that would be the thing they would do. They would, if it was, girls, which would not often go to the synagogue, they would go and learn how to keep a household, etc. All right. Now, after learning this first bit of the Torah, the very clever little children would be selected to go to the next stage of education in the Jewish system. And this would be called the Beit Talmud. And the Beit Talmud will be the rest of the Old Testament as we know it, and some other. And you have pew Bibles. Just take the pew Bible and just go up from Genesis to Malachi, page, do we have a page, almost, page 962, okay, from page 1 to page 962, I want you to just check it out, just page and see. So the children aged 10 to 15 who got selected to do the Beit Talmud would be the rest of the Old Testament, and they would know it by heart. Yes. They would live by this. All right. This would be the second phase of the clever children. Now, after this phase, being at the age of 15 to 16, then, well, it would be 15 more or less, then everyone would mostly fall out of the Jewish system. Sorry for my back to the choir and Laura. They would fall out from the scholar system or the school system, and they would go and attend to the trades, which were the family trades, as I said, fishing, etc., etc., or baking, or you name it. And then from the last group, only the cleverest, intelligent children would, yes, Jane, they would be not selected to go on with education. They would need to apply now to a rabbi. And a rabbi in those days was seen that they interpreted the Old Testament and obviously the writings of the Jewish people and the Old Testament in different ways. Now, as we find it today as well, there are different interpretations of the scripture, etc. So if you wanted to carry on being a wise in the sense of wise person, in the sense of knowledge of the Old Testament, you had to apply to a rabbi of the day. And then you would go to the rabbi, say it was Rabbi Jim Clark. And you would go to Rabbi Jim Clark, and Rabbi Jim Clark would say, all right, John 3rd, I see you, I see you applied, but tell me, are you good enough to follow me? Because you see, if you wanted to follow a rabbi, it meant you would devote your entire life to him. You would follow him. It would mostly be hymns, not hers, due to the system or the cultural system of the days. You would need to follow them not only in their words, but physically, everything they did. Because if you wanted to be a student, and the word for student in those days were disciple. Disciple meant not only learning the knowledge or having the knowledge, but literally to become like the one you are following. Very interesting. So you would give up your life at the age of 15 and you would follow your rabbi. And this is very interesting, and I've found that again through Rob Bell as well, but you can read this the concept of discipleship. So what would have happened? You would apply, John 3rd would apply to Rabbi Clark, and then Rabbi Clark would say, all right, John, I want you to go through this following test. And he would turn and burn John 3rd and see if he knows his the background knowledge. And every rabbi had their own interpretation and teachings, which was called their yoke. So Rabbi Clark would tell John, John, I want to see if you are able to carry and know my yoke. And if John fails, then John's out. He goes to the family trade. But if he passed the test, he will follow Rabbi Clark in everything he does. You would leave your village. You would even leave your family. That's how devotion worked between disciples and a rabbi of the day. Very, very intense. Very intense. And what it meant, if you were to follow your rabbi, you would literally follow him on the ways he would travel or where he would go. And you knew they wore sandals and the roads were dusty and it wasn't good circumstances they travel with. But I'm the disciple of Rabbi Tim. All right. So Tim, not too fast, not too slow, you walk down the aisle. So yes, so we're on our way and I would be the disciple of Rabbi Tim. And all the dust which comes up from the bottom spats on me. If he, thank you Tim, other way, if Tim steps into a puddle of mud, puddle of mud splatters against me. So they would have the saying, thank you Rabbi Tim. So in the Jewish culture of the day, they would have the saying, may you be blessed with the dust of your rabbi upon your clothes. That's just paraphrasing it. Telling you, may you be blessed in knowing everything of your rabbi. Very nice blessing, well, not for the disciple because you're dirty, but not only physically, even in the thoughts and the teachings of the rabbi. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. It would be a saying of people in those days. So let's come back to Jesus. Giving that context and hearing our second reading this morning, I find it very strange that when Jesus calls his first disciples, Peter and his brother Andrew, and then John and James, then it's very interesting where are they at that moment? Busy fishing, busy with their nets. So they are tradesmen and they are fishermen. And you get it. So Peter and his brother Andrew and John and James, they did not make the cut. They were not the best of the best students of the day. I don't know what you call them. Do you call them daft lads? Or what do you call them? We would say they were a bit stupid. They were not there. They were not quite there. That is what we see in them. But not Christ. Not Christ. I said, you had to apply to a rabbi. And you had to go through tests because a rabbi wanted to know that you are capable of doing what he would do. And what does Jesus do? He comes towards them and he calls them and he tells them, come and follow me. They were not the best of the best. But why did they follow him? Because a rabbi came to them. And if a rabbi said to you, I say, come and follow me, then you knew the rabbi would put his trust in you to fulfill this calling. And isn't this amazing? Sorry, I'm getting Goosebumps. Goosebumps. Isn't this amazing? Jesus coming to just the tradesmen of the day, being, I don't know what the age were. Sorry, I don't know. Probably between 15, 20, 25. And he tells them, come. And they leave their nets. I mean, Jesus had this different views on who he was in different views of culture. But they leave their nets and they start following him. Now, this brings me back to the explanation of Peter walking on the water. This makes total sense. That when Jesus approaches the disciples in the storm in their boat and they are scared, and Peter calls out, Jesus, is it you? And yes, it's me, calm down. And then Peter jumps out of the boat. I asked earlier, why would he jump out of the boat? Because he trusted the rabbi. He knew that if the rabbi could do this, he could also do this. And then all of a sudden, whilst Peter is walking on the water, and we will come back to this in, I want to do a series on discipleship, if it's as fine as Alistair mentioned this morning, a few sermons on it. So when Peter got onto the water, I also always thought, oh, he's doubting Jesus. That's why he was sinking. No, he was doubting himself. He was doubting himself because Jesus was not sinking. And this helps me discovering that Jesus believed in Peter. Jesus believed in Peter that he could get out of the boat and he could start walking towards him. Peter struggled in believing in himself. And maybe just a little end to the sermon this morning, to ask ourselves, do we believe in God? Yes, we hear that between us as Christians. I believe in God. We confess it in our confession of faith. But do we believe that God believes in us? Do we believe that Jesus, who called the disciples and calls us through Scripture, Matthew 28, go and make disciples, teach them, go to all nations, that Jesus believes in us? You know, one of the things I think we struggle most in life is to forgive ourselves. It's easier to forgive other people sometimes than to forgive ourselves. And in this discipleship concept this morning, I want to leave you with that, telling you that it's not only you and I believing in Jesus. He also believes in us. He calls us as his disciples. Now next week, if it's fine with you, I want to continue with discipleship. This is just the background. May you ponder on this for the rest of the week. Next week, we will follow the text, the second text of John, where it's the calling of the first disciples, Peter and Andrew, and then John and James, sons of Zebedeus, and go and have a look at Andrew specifically. And I know you have a great history with Andrew and St. Andrews and being Scotland and the flag. It was a wonderful discovery to myself, again, who Andrew was, living in the shadow of his brother. But now as a good, soapy or serious, at the end, it always has these three dots saying, to be continued. All right. So let's end there for this morning, to be continued. And I wish for you, I really wish for you, in the evening service, at Connect, our services here, in your pondering and your devotional time at home, that you may really walk close to the rabbi of life, and may you really be covered in the dust of the rabbi that loves us and believes in us. Amen. Shall we sing 553, Will You Come and Follow Me? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we give thanks to you also for being part of a Christian community. For the busyness this year, during this time on the Christian calendar, festivals, and that which would follow. For the rhythms of life and death, and for all those who live with us. We give thanks for the great things we've discovered also again during Easter, and even in our prayers and songs we have sung and enjoyed, knowing that you giving or gave us life. May messages, the message of grace and peace and abundance, always follow us, and not always follow us, but may we proclaim it unto others. And may the Bible we read, loved, understood, make it a way that we would discover more of you through the work of your Holy Spirit, working within our hearts and our thoughts to understand your word. And when we may journey together in this time, coming up to Pentecost, and maybe after that, being disciples, your beloved disciples, being called by you, thank you that we may know that you have faith in us to follow you. And therefore, in humbleness, we do pray that you will cover us with your dust wherever you want us to walk and to follow in your steps, where you would be doing things in our community, in our homes. May we be your disciples. Thank you that we may believe in you as our Father, as our Creator, as our Savior, as our Comforter, as our guidance. Therefore, as we give our lives unto you as offerings, help us to understand where and how and when. And when we offer our gifts this morning, we give that as a symbol in knowing that everything belongs to you, and you can use it in your kingdom as you want and may. We pray this in your name, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bring our offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we pray for the world in its need, for those who seek refuge from war, and for those who guide the response to such need. We pray for politicians. May they give a lead well and do their work with honesty and diligence for the sake of your kingdom. We pray for the sick and those who care for them. And this morning we especially pray for Mary and Eric and Margaret and their family. Also for our other friends in need of your help and care. May people live with hope, hope that you bring. And may our friends find care and healing from you. May they know they are remembered and loved. And may this congregation be a healing community, welcoming the stranger and caring for the troubled, for the sake of your kingdom. And we pray for our parish. May the lonely find a friend. May the prosperous live with generosity. May all practices be kind. We remember our neighbors of other religions. We remember our neighbors of no religion. And we remember our neighbors about whom we know little. If we have enemies, we pray for them. If we have absent friends or family, we ask a blessing on them in your name, Jesus Christ. We pray for the church. May she live and grow. May she conform to the image of Christ. May she become a shelter and a light for many people. We know the General Assembly is coming up, and therefore we pray guide the moderators of assembly and locally our presbytery, strengthen office bearers and workers, inform well our conveners and office staff in the church for your mercy's sake. With thanksgiving for all our brothers and sisters who live and serve you in heaven, with hope for all your people on earth. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and thank you, Lord, that we know we can follow you in your kingdom. Amen. Our closing hymn is 532, Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore.
Oh.
The Lord will set out before you to prepare the road ahead. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you against the onslaughts of evil. The Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. The Lord will be beneath you to steady lift you up the day you might stumble or fall. The Lord will be above you to bless you. And the Lord will dwell within you so that you may live by his grace. Amen.